there's a destiny for this place, you're fine, honey. You go plow. You go spray, okay? You're doing good. If there's a destiny for this place, that means there's a destiny for you. You know, we is it. The church is not the building. There's no destiny for this building. The destiny is for us. And so after preaching on having an encounter with God starting last week, the next step for me was to be rekindled with a fire. Remember Wednesday night, some of you were here? We just asked you to have a baptism of fire before Sunday morning. Well, things got a little busy with Matthew and some other people, and Friday night I was going to come here. And somebody called and talked about going out for supper, and I really struggled with that. And when I struggle with eating, you know it's a change. You know, something's happening with Pastor. You know, I'd cancel funerals or weddings or anything, just go out and have supper. No. And so yesterday morning at 5 o'clock, came here. And God was here. God was here. And you say, well, why 5 o'clock? Because at 7:30 I had to leave for Sioux Falls. The only time I was going to have. And started thinking about the fire of God, and started speaking in a new language that, I mean, I've spoken in tongues for years, but I spoke in a new language never had before. And this morning was here a little after 6. And before the phone started ringing and people wanting to know what was going on. And you know, fire represents the presence, the glory of God. Isn't it boring just to accept Christ so I go to heaven? Isn't it boring just to accept Christ so I'm not going to hell? So I accept Christ when I'm 10, 12, 14 years old, and for the next 50 years I don't do anything. I'm just ready to go to heaven. 60, 70 years. There's got to be more. There's got to be something that God would call us out of into, that we walk through that open door. Like he says, what do you see when you see an open door? You go through it. It's not that God doesn't want to burn us with the fire. It's that we don't take the opportunities that we have to come into that place where that fire blazes up. You know, fire can be dangerous. Isn't that right, buddy? Fire can be dangerous. Fire can come to a place where, remember, have you read much in the Old Testament? I haven't read it for a long time, but I remember, thank God, that God just keeps showing and opening that. There was a king that sent out 50 men to come to get Elijah. It's in 2 Kings chapter 1. He sent out these 50 men, and Elijah's sitting on a hill. And they sent out to get him, and Elijah said something like this: well, if I'm a man of God, fire's going to come down and burn you up. And it did. Pew, they're gone. Fire destroyed them. King sent out another 50 men. Elijah says, if I'm a man of God, fire's going to come down and destroy you. Pew, it happened. The third leader of the third group was a little wiser. He comes to Elijah, he says, I know you're a man of God. Please don't burn me. And so Elijah says, okay, I'll come with you. And he did. Fire burned up 100 men. Or fire came down from heaven. How many remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? You know, the prophets of Baal are cutting themselves, and They're trying to get God to send fire down and burn up their sacrifices. And what did Elijah do? He says, get some barrels of water and pour them on my sacrifice. Pour them on my sacrifice. And he says, God, burn up this sacrifice. Whew. Fire came down, burnt it up. The fire of God will either purify you or destroy you. How many realize the devil didn't create hell? And so, as I started thinking about fire and reading, and I got a book, it's old, it's in the 90s, it's by Mario Murillo, it's called Fresh Fire. That's what we used to call our ministry group when we went out. As I begin to, what?
Seems weird to think of the 90s as old.
20 years ago. For some of us, that's a long time. Fire can destroy stuff. We understand that. Frida was talking this morning about when she was a child, barns burned. Destroyed animals, destroyed hay, destroyed things. But fire also can produce power. Fire can produce energy. Fire purifies. God told the church in Laodicea, I wish that you'd buy gold refined in the fire. Fire illuminates. In the scripture, it gives us insight. It shows us things that God's doing. Fire produces heat. How many realize when the fire is out, the house is cold? And so in our walk with God, the fire of God does all this stuff within us. It does all this stuff within us. I want to take you through a few scriptures. I'm going to preach more on this next Sunday, I think. Exodus 3, 1 through 5. Let's go. How many remember the burning bush? Let's just look at it. Let's just look at some scriptures for a moment. Moses was with a flock in the desert in 3, verse 2. Exodus 3, 2. If you haven't been there for a while, it's been Genesis, what? Okay, easy to find. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire and looked in the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush doesn't burn. And the Lord saw that he turned aside, and God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, he said, here am I. He said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I was thinking as I thought about, as I was looking at this scripture, do you realize that some days we're going to come in this place and Scott said he saw people just tumbling in the doorway as they came in because God's presence is holy ground. I had a dream last night. Now, don't look at me funny. Joel said what? Old men will what? Okay. I had a dream last night like nothing I've ever had before. I was standing in the doorway of the church, Scott. People were coming in. And I was touching him, saying, the fire of God. The fire of God. The fire of God. Things were happening as they walked through the door. New people were coming in, and all we'd greet them with was the fire of God. The fire of God. Something is happening. Something is changing. Now, we got a choice of responding and saying, well, oh, hum. Give pastor another week and he'll go somewhere else and do something else and have something else to say. The fire of God. How about Exodus 24? Do you ever feel any bondage in this area? Do you ever feel a lack of spiritual freedom? Maybe sometime we just need to see in the heavenlies. I'm not. Coming to a place where I'm going crazy, but I wrote down the wrong scripture. No, I didn't. 15. Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain, and the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called to Moses out of the midst of the cloud. In the sight of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on top of the mountain in the eyes of the children of Israel. Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. Moses met this consuming fire on a mountain. But what happened? He wasn't consumed. Wasn't just a pile of ashes left. The consuming fire purifies and cleanses and fills and consumes and gives us energy and power and illuminates God to us. The one thing that hit me about Laodicea, God said, why don't you buy some eye salve? Put it on your eyes so you can see. Do all that we see is a natural? Remember last week? God's looking for people who will believe the unbelievable, hear the inaudible, see the invisible, and do the impossible. That's us. But that fire and that presence and that touch of God needs to get a hold of us so we realize it's available. You ever witness to somebody and they just walked away from you? Shook their head and said, I don't want that. Do you ever witness to somebody when it's set up by the Holy Spirit and the fire of God is burning within you? And they want to walk away, they want to run, but they can't. It's a different game with a different ending, a different result because the fire of God. How about 2 Kings chapter 6? Second Kings, if he starts pulling stuff down, grab him. But 2 Kings chapter 6. Verse number 13. The king of Syria is having trouble with Elisha. In verse 13, he says, go see where he is that I may send and get him. And it was told, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots, a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the Lord, man of God rose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses, chariots, and the servant said, alas, master, what shall we do? So he answered and said, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. There's two against an army. Say two against an army. Who wins? Isn't that amazing? One plus God is a majority. Or God is a majority, whichever way you want to look at it. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. I think I'll make a movie called Chariots of Fire. You missed that one, didn't you? It's already been done. God had the whole heavens surrounded with chariots of fire. The presence of God. Acts 2:3. And there sat upon every one of them individual or cloven tongues as of fire. The presence of God came in that upper room. I was teaching in Detroit Lakes the other night. And Karen had turned the heat off all the way down. And all of a sudden into that room came a heat like the heat was up to 90. It was, everyone, where's this heat? What's this heat? It was just the presence of God. There's something that we sometimes don't realize. The presence of God is tangible. You can feel it. You can touch it. You can sense it. There's something going on. Somebody said, well, what's the anointing? How do you know? Well, I just know when it isn't. You know, we walk, and I tell myself, I walk in my own atmosphere of the Holy Spirit, and so should you, and so do you. That when you don't go into a place, it doesn't matter if it's full of demons. It doesn't matter if the devil himself is right there. It doesn't matter what people are saying or doing. You carry an anointing, an atmosphere, and that atmosphere changes the moment you walk in there. I remember a preacher telling that his daughter went to a rock concert. I don't know, with Kiss, or that's the only group I know. I haven't met them personally. Haven't really signed up for their fan club, but. And I don't know what they call it when they take people backstage. You get a back pass or something like that. And this girl, they invited her. She was gorgeous, and somebody had some ideas for her to come back. And she walked backstage, and the lady that was checking out the people going backstage says, you're not coming. And the girl said, what do you mean I'm not coming? I was invited. You can't go back there. Later, they found out this woman was a witch. And she said, no, there's somebody praying for you right now to God, and we're not letting you go back there and mess up what's going on in the back. True story. There's an atmosphere that we walk in. In that atmosphere, nothing can harm you, friends. If God tells you to go talk to the leading witch or the person in charge of Satanism or whatever it might be, there's a fire within you when you're walking in the Spirit of God. People cannot resist it. They'll have to get you out of there, or they'll bow their knee to Jesus. You're in good hands. Better hands than with Allstate. You're in good hands. It's the presence and the power of God. Go with me to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. How many of you have been filled with the Holy Spirit? According to Acts 2, not according to some denomination? With the evidence of what? Speaking in other languages. The reason I ask that is simply for the fact that I want to see people baptized the biblical way in the Holy Ghost. I want to see people full of the Holy Spirit. And there's an evidence that comes with that Holy Spirit to you and to other people. I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I don't want somebody telling you what to say and you're baptized. I want you being anointed by the Spirit of God, where the Holy Spirit gives you the utterance. Amen? I want to do it God's way. I'm not trying to find any shortcuts. But 3:11 says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with what? And what?
Fire.
And fire. Why? power, energy, purification, illumination, heat. Now look at me. I understand that the people that you have to associate with or you have chosen to associate with will sometimes look at you and say, well, you're just weird. This stuff is weird. You know something? They are. This is the norm. This is what we should be after. Why wouldn't we want to get closer to God if we want to spend eternity with God? Don't you want to? Do you want to go the other place? Do you ever go somewhere with somebody you never met before? Do you ever invite them into your house, somebody you never met before, and they spent 20 years with you? You just said, no, you can just take over my house. Don't you think we should get to know the God we're spending eternity with? Don't you think we should develop that relationship so we walk in there and we say, hi, Dad. I don't mean to be disrespectful or hi, Father. You and I have the greatest opportunity because God is wooing us. He's dating us, so to speak. He's allowing us to see His glory to an extent, and He's saying, just come to me, there's more. You know, when I was younger, when I used to go to a buffet, I never looked at the salad bar. I want to get to the main core. I want to get to the meat and taters, the gravy. I'll just go a few hours and you'll be hungry by then.
Too late.
I just wanted to get to the main course. We were in Bible school. I remember I don't even know if I've ever been to a buffet. They took me to a buffet and I started grabbing a plate for the salad. The guy said, don't do that. You're in Bible school. Get to the meat. I said, hey, that's a good idea. I can have salad at school. It's one thing they can't mess up. Same with God. Salvation is an appetizer. I understand it gets us to heaven. I understand that. I'm not minimizing it. But it opens the door into the rest of the buffet that God has for you to eat and to be refreshed. Isn't it kind of interesting in Revelation chapter 1 and Revelation chapter 19? Revelation chapter 1, when John saw Jesus, his eyes were like a flame of fire. In Revelation 19, when he's coming back on white horses, his eyes are like a flame of fire. Not only can he see through us, but he purifies and he can destroy. Second Timothy chapter 1. I can still see the neighbor's house, so we'll wrap it up pretty quick. Are we okay? 2 Timothy chapter 1. Verse number 6. Therefore I remind you, I want you to remember, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That word stir is very interesting. It means to kindle. It means to get the flame burning. Get the spiritual flame burning within you. Have you ever been camping? Do you ever go to a campground and you build a fire and you go away for a while and you come back and all there's left are some coals, you throw a little wood on there, or if you're like me, you get a jug of that lighter fluid and you shoo, boof. Don't have time for kindling. But Paul is telling Timothy, kindle the fire. Kindle the fire. Paul says in Romans chapter 12, 11, be fervent in spirit, be boiling. Are we? What does it mean? It means have an attitude that always is conscious of God. No matter what you're doing, it's like praying always. It's not simply being on my knees at all time, but I'm consciously aware of God in everything I'm doing. Stoke the fire. Kindle the fire. There's fire available in the presence of God. Hey, buddy, come here. What do you think? What do you think of all those people? Do they look like they're burning to you? Huh? You're a good boy. Are we burning? I came in here last Sunday. And I walked in the door, and I thought, man, it's chilly in here. I went over and looked at the thermostat. The thermostat said it should be 66, but it was only 60, 58, 60. The furnace wasn't fired. Had to work on it. Kurt came in the other morning. It was out again. But how about us? In your spiritual thermometer, in your spiritual thermometer, is a boiler burning? Or are we just holding on? You know, to me, it's very interesting. If God doesn't come in another year for some Christians, the fire's going to be out. Maybe 6 months. I'm not condemning anybody. In your life, we have to be prepared to hang on for a while. Not just to hang on. I personally believe we're holding back the Antichrist. You need to be on fire for God. You need to walk this out. You need to come to a place, and I need to come to a place where the 5 o'clock prayer time or the 5:30 prayer time is something that becomes normal. In a few weeks, what do you think they're going to be doing in Fargo? Sandbagging. Are they going to wait till the water's over the ledge before they put them down? I saw on TV that they're already filling them. They're already getting ready. Why? Because they know if the flood hits, it's too late then to do something about it. Church, if the flood tide of sin keeps rising and the church keeps going down, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late. Yeah. You know, you get pretty special treatment around here. That daddy? I'm glad you came. I'm going to use you now.
Bye.
Yeah. What about this little one? If the church is simply decline in spirituality, what's he going to have? I'm going to have my hands around your neck in a minute. How come you look like your daddy? Huh? You're a good boy. If you let go of my tie, you're a really good boy. But seriously, what about your children? What about the twins? What are our children going to grow up in? No, those twins aren't even born yet. But are we going to leave them a heritage in this church of fire? Of the glory of God? Of the presence of God? No condemnation. But I believe it's time for every person, including children in this church, to be touched by the fire of God. And friends, if we don't do it, who's going to? I'm asking you, get before God this week. Get touched with the fire. A fire with one stick doesn't burn very long. But when you take and you pile them up like a bonfire and you light them, they go, don't they? It's a great day for the Lord. Don't let it dampen your spirits because it's snowing. We're coming to March when we really get the snow. Get fired up. Get touched by the Spirit. Get full of the Spirit. Walk it out. If you're alone, nobody else is doing it, does it really matter? It's not a bandwagon thing for God. It's an individual commitment that we do collectively here. And we come in here Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Friday night, and we explode together in the presence of God. Stand with me, will you? You know, you may look at yourself and say, I've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I've never had this fire. There are times it takes people quite a while to get full of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Doesn't mean you're bad or God doesn't want to give it. It just seems like sometimes it takes a while, but sometimes there's just a simple time when all of a sudden I'm before God. I talk to people who've been in services, been in crusades. They go home at night. Nothing happened in the church service. They go home at night. They wake up in the middle of the night just full of the Holy Ghost. They're praying in spirit. Don't even know what's going on, but they've been doing it for a while. God is asking you to do one thing. You had to ask for salvation, right? You can also ask God to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says if the son asks for a fish, the father's not going to give him a stone. Some people say, well, I might think that's, well, I'm not going to go there. Some people just think it's of the devil. No. God told us to be filled with the Spirit. So raise your hands with me if you will. Father, I pray for everyone in this body that you would fill them with the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the fire. That the presence of God would just saturate people's life. God, you say you're a consuming fire in Hebrews 12:29. Let your fire fall on these people and fill them and let the presence of God saturate this place every time we come in. Fill us with your glory, Lord. As we go home today, let us just keep in mind whatever we're doing, fixing lunch or doing other things, that you would just fill us with your power and your glory. And Lord, give us a safe trip home. Let your presence and your power be with us. And Lord, as we meet people this week, let them know that we've been with Jesus. that we've been touched by you. In Jesus' name.